The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Elon Musk needs to listen to this podcast. I'm saying that from jump because somebody knows somebody who knows somebody that knows Elon Musk. We are on all over Texas, the 6 degrees. Anthony, you got comedian friends. Somebody knows Dave Chappelle. He knows Elon Musk. Somebody knows there Elon is. Musk.
No, my friend Carlton, I think, got drunk with him.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're that far removed from him.
We're not. We're not. Because when it comes to energy, this world only has so much to give. And there's a lot of people. And this scientist named Kenneth Welch has harnessed water to create energy inland. So it's not the ocean. It's a lot to explain. We're going to let the scientists and the people who have funded it.
Tell you exactly what they're doing, but yeah. It is mind-blowing technology.
Well, but I want to say something before we start. You know, they did mention this, that scientists today and creators of renewable energy are obligated to tell everybody in the world that there's only so much energy. So we want everybody to drive these electric cars, which is why we're calling out Elon Musk. We want you to drive the electric cars, but the grid can't support the electric cars.
I thought we're calling him out to like hang out with him and be friends.
We can do that. We can be friends.
We're not. No.
Yes, we will. We can hang out with him and be friends.
I know, as long as he takes on this technology.
Oh, he will want to. Okay. When he gets to know about this, he will want to because that means he gets to sell more cars. You see what I'm saying?
And all right, him and Cardi B, the list of people who are going to block us.
Great.
Elon Musk, listen to this podcast.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Right now, we're talking to a very famous inventor, Mr. Welch. Mr. Welch, can you please tell me your title? Give me your title so that I can, you know, address you correctly.
I am owner, inventor, founder of Global Oceanic Designs, Inc. and Sea Dog Systems, Inc. and the inventor behind all the technologies being represented here. And several more. I have created a lot of technologies over the years. I've owned about 35 companies. I have developed some 40 other companies for other companies. And it's my passion.
Now, today when you stood up and you said something that really touched me, you said, "Why greed for profit? Why not greed for good?" Is that truly what drives you?
The world is greed for bad. I mean, we hate to say that. That's why we live in war. The war machine can't exist without some skirmish. It doesn't sit in the warehouses. It gets old. Even though they don't plan to do it, the process itself kind of demands it. Companies think out for themselves. They don't think about future generations like the old families used to. Thank God they still around. Otherwise, we wouldn't have our museums and our schools, the foundations that fund them, and how they look forward to our future. The common person doesn't create that. And when you go to the ballet or you go to other things, it is them that maintain that for you and then make the ticket as cheap as possible so that all can participate. But at the same time, our world is ugly in what it has to do to survive. I mean, we have to tear down jungles, we cut down trees to maintain this dream that we have for our world. So as long as our innovators and our designers and our developers can find newer and better ways, these things change, but it takes time. But right now the world is on quick profit, throwaway products. They're not looking at long-term things. They're trying to get the quick dollar. And this is what we call greed for bad, okay? Because it's not giving back, it's just taking. And so we need greed for good. We need people to create masses of money, hire lots of people, and invest in the future for our children's children as we did in the past. And if we do this, life will be greed for good.
When did you realize I can harness water for energy? Because it sounds too good to be true. When I sat through this presentation today, I don't think I've ever been more excited about anything in a very long time. You said it was boring. It was nothing about that was boring. It was so exciting. Water energy, how does it work? When did you realize I can do this?
Well, first of all, 70% of our world is water, okay? We look out on the beaches and we see these waves crashing. And each one of them, if you're standing there even knee deep, is enough to knock you over. That's energy. And the bigger the wave, the bigger the energy. Huge ships get toppled. You know, super tankers get toppled, you know, in different rogue waves and different seas. Storms bring seas that match our greatest weapons. And so the power is in that ocean. It was all about how do we tap it? You know, it seems like those waves never leave. They're prevalent like our sun. But our sun only comes up and goes down and goes up and goes down. It is not 24/7. The is constant. So, you know, solar is a quarter of a day product. Wind is about a half a day. You know, there's a lot of days the wind doesn't blow. Not enough to even turn them. And but the one thing that is constant on our planet is our oceans. And they're dominating most of the land. 60% of the world population lives within 100 miles of the sea. You know, it's always been said, if we could tap that energy of that ocean, we could power millions, billions for generations and generations and thousands of years.
And you did it.
We have done it.
I mean, that end of the story. You did it. So how long before, realistically, before the rest of the world catches on?
I have sold my technologies for that to happen. So now the companies involved that have put this together with our sponsorship, as we move forward, you, the press, share the story. You know, not too many people are saying the grid is full, you know, and they keep selling you things and it's full. So the more things they give you that are electricity, the more brownouts, the more, you know, blackouts we're going to get. So
that was so interesting to me. Knowing that, yes, an electric car is a good thing, but it's still pulling from that grid, and there's only so much energy to be given.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're plugging in at home or at the gas station. It's still coming from the same, well, it's still coming from the same grid, so it's irrelevant.
I can't wait for people to understand this, to absorb it, and it's a lot like the car. It's going to take time. Nobody wanted to give the horse up. But nobody rides to work anymore.
Well, you know, Tesla, Elon Musk, did a very nice thing with the Tesla things and open sourced it. And we're, through the nonprofits, trying to head down the path because that's the quickest way to give it to the most of the amount of people and let them even refine it further than we already have. You know, I'm the inventor. As soon as I build something, I'm done with it. I move on. Go get another toy to build.
Do you think Elon Musk will get involved in this? Do you think he cares about what you're doing?
He was invited. You know, he needs energy. A lot of the companies were invited. We took 33, the top 100 public corporations, 33 of the top private corporations, which, you know, Cargill's here. And we took 33 of the largest foundations on the planet and invited their CEOs, owners, or board of directors to participate. And if they didn't want to come themselves, they were allowed to. Yes, we knew that.
They're afraid of this, when in reality, they have to embrace it.
And we kept those doors open in the event they would show. But if they didn't, we banked on the press to listen to what we had to say. And so, you know, either it was going to be them and you as the heroes, or it was going to end up being you the heroes. So we didn't really have a whole lot to lose if we would just hold our ground and present and pray to God that the press would show.
Congratulations. I wish you the best of luck. I can't wait to see everything come to fruition. I think in 100 years, it'll just be the norm.
If this product is released, you won't know your world in 20 years.
You're right. Well, I was thinking about that. I thought about just the way we treat the planet. Well, we might not. The planet will still be here. We won't.
No. Well, all generations are only temporary. You know, if you're going to maintain the ongoing, then you need to pay it forward. And so right now, we have too many people. This is why I call greed for bad, that only care selfishly for themselves. They're not paying it forward for our next generations. And if the bulk of the big money does this, then what happens? So we wanted to ensure we had a product that would maybe change this mindset. It's a profitable machine. What you're doing is profitable. Connect them. Connect them both and keep flourishing.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
All right, so we're here with Daniel on the red carpet at the ESI Summit in Houston. Daniel, first of all, what a fabulous event.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy you're here.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Can you tell us a little bit about your work and why this beautiful event is being put together?
Absolutely. I'm the founder of Hinosis Foundation, and Hinosis Foundation was created to work in tandem with the 17 Sustainable Developmental Goals set by the United Nations. We want to make sure that our children's children have a world to live in the upcoming years. So what we want to make sure is we looked for technologies that we could actually solve our current issues. One of the biggest issues being climate change. It affects humans, it affects the environment, so we want to make sure we have a solution that can be feasible for everything. And we finally found a solution. We have this amazing technology that produces water, that gives you fresh, clean water, it produces power, and it can be very revolutionary for everyone. It can change.
Do you think it's going to be hard for people to understand, wait, water inland in a giant pool can give me energy? Because it really is that simple.
I think so. It's exactly as you said. It's very simple. And when people hear it, and when they hear the numbers, it sounds so simple, yet it's sophisticated. And I was like, why didn't I think of this? And that's why I'm always so wowed by the inventor, Mr. Welch, because he thought of it. And yes, it does sound very...
24 years of work.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm here after 2.5 years. So I definitely didn't come from this background. But again, this is something that I'm very passionate about, and I love it. And yeah.
Every year we have hurricanes, we have extreme weather, there hasn't been rain. Why do you think so many people doubt climate change?
I'm honestly not sure. I think media plays a very big part in it. I think, unfortunately, we make certain things very political in this country, including climate change. And I think certain things are simply facts. Our opinions don't matter, as much as that is controversial to say. When science proves something, that is proven. And unless we can unprove that and disprove that, that is the fact. So I think no matter if we believe climate change is happening or not, doesn't really, is irrelevant, because climate change is happening scientifically and we need to address it.
2 + 2 = 4, and that's a fact.
That is correct. That's a fact.
Daniel, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you so much, Dana. I'm so happy you're here.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Steve, what is your official title?
I am my official title would be investor, board member.
Company?
Global Oceanic Designs, Sea Dog Systems, Inc., and Diamond Infrastructure Development, Inc.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Peter and Kenneth. How do you explain this in a minute to people who might not believe that you've been able to harness water to create energy? And how do you explain to someone? Because it just seems unbelievable.
Kenneth is one of the most, Mr. Welch is one of the most foremost scientists on ocean waved phenomenons. And he spent 40 years, 10 of it with me. And he was able to see what waves were doing with the, it was explained a little earlier, but with the neutral buoyant, if one boat goes by, one wake goes up and down, and he was able to use that phenomenon just from years of watching, and he was able to put a trick in the box and trick kinetic, potential to kinetic, which is so it doesn't steal from the wave. It's a tech that's a living embodiment, because the way we build things today is it's square, it has no strength, there's no
electric. It doesn't love.
Yeah, it doesn't love. So, the math is kind of skewed on it. So the math says that the house will survive a 200-mile-an-hour wind, but yet it's falling apart at 150 miles an hour. His structures, you know, a lot of this tech is built around the same universal ratios and how the world works. So it's symbiotic. It lives within the nature. And, you know, in essence, you know, in some ways it doesn't extract and it doesn't take. So it's you know, I'm not an engineer, but it gives and it doesn't take.
And the natural materials, I mean, that was something else. It truly are sustainable. You're talking hundreds of years without real repair.
Correct. There's this tech can be built out of different materials, granite. It can be made out of bamboo. Bamboo is a very good source of water. Metal, yeah, but, you know, it rusts. And then there's a thing called acrylic, which we have studied for over the last actually, it goes back to Kenny. He did some designs back in the early 80s, and it wasn't feasible. It couldn't be built. And every once in a while, you pull it off the shelf, see where we're at. And in the last 5 years, pretty much, that technology can come, and that's for underwater habitats, platforms on the ocean. And you can actually, the dirt that, you know, you can take dirt out there. It's the same idea as in California back in the 60s where they started farms and buildings and went up to save space. Well, it's the same thing here. You just take it offshore, and the technology waters it. It gives it its electric. It runs it, and you have excess. You run it back to shore and fresh water, and you can go five stories high, 1 mile by 1 mile, and open up some of the land, give it back to the animals. Yeah, I get tired. You know, people say hunters. Do you like solar? Do you like this? Well, in 15 years, and it's going fast, you're not going to have any land to even see an animal. So it's getting to a point something has to change, and that's the reason why Diamond, Hinosis, yeah, here, you know, we had to do something that would bring the brightest people in the industries and in areas that could make this a reality.
I'll tell you, we're excited about it. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
What is your official title?
Well, my title is that I'm narrator for Hinosis Foundation. So I'm the kind of storyteller. I try to take the complexity out of it and present for the average layman kind of what they do.
So in less than 2 minutes, what would you describe what is happening here at the ESI Summit, and how would you explain that to people listening so that they can be as excited as we are? We attended, we heard, we've done nothing but talk to people about this innovative, I think, future, right? The future of energy. What would you say to anybody listening? Why should they be excited?
It's a radical new idea. And this weekend is the weekend that it's launched into the public domain. It's 40 years in the making, 10 years of ridiculously hard work to get it where it is today. And it's constantly changing and updating, but it can be the equal or more of solar, wind, bio, and many other energies, and it has a much more sustainable component to it.
What are you using to convert to energy?
Well, what does the system do to make energy?
Well, I don't think people understand it's water.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, I know, it's crazy, it's absolutely crazy. Think of I'm trying to think of an analogy that would be equal to this. Think of the bathtub as a gigantic bathtub that's making waves of up to 7 feet tall and up to 15 waves at a time in a half mile or 1 mile corridor. That is, each of these waves has a certain amount of energy, and it's pushing propellers that turn shafts that go into turbines that create electricity. Yeah, just like a hydroelectric dam, instead of the water pouring over it and turning the propellers at the bottom, you kind of put it on its side and you push the waves up and down this thing. So that's the same energy.
One of the questions that someone here had when I was trying to explain, well, wouldn't this hurt the ocean? This is inland.
This is inland, yeah. It can go in the ocean. But the trouble with the ocean is it's not, you can't control it. So a big wave, then a little wave, then a wave coming from this angle, one from that angle. In a pool, you can actually control the environment of creating energy in there. So this is crazy, I know. But you can create as much power as long as you have a big enough and a deep enough pool. So like a 1 mile pool, you can create enough energy that would equal a nuclear power station. And it could power up to 150,000, 180,000 homes with one pool.
And you said we don't, you're not having to control the ocean. We've been trying to do that with solar and wind, controlling nature, and that's impossible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a very simple concept. It just takes wave energy, and it just uses that to turn blades, which are connected to a shaft, which turns a turbine. It's as simple as that, exactly the same as a hydroelectric dam.
What is the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is to create a sustainable energy that is truly sustainable. So once you get the wave machine going, it doesn't cost much money at all. It's about 1/60th of the cost of running most other types of energy, and way, way less, and way less damaging than fossil fuels. Yeah, so it has no bad elements to it.
That's
all. You probably heard today, you could put it under a mall. You could put it under a parking structure. You can. One of the projects we want to do is take it to Africa and put it into some of the small rural villages over there that can't get electricity because there's no infrastructure for them.
This would replace the grids that we have now or that are continuously failing.
Yeah. It's not supposed to replace, but eventually it could be much bigger. I'll put it that way. I mean, solar and wind have had a much longer head start than we have. But I think once we get a few installations completed, we'll get a lot of positive media. And there's really nothing that can go wrong with this. As Ken said today, this can last for hundreds of years without much maintenance at all. It's crazy. And it's so simple that it's just been looking at us in our face this whole time. And he's just kind of perfected the bits and pieces of it, yeah.